The crisis in Ukraine is one that threatens global security, according to Ukraine's interim prime minister, calling Russia's move into Crimea illegal and an occupation. Meanwhile, Crimea has announced to join the Russian Federation, a proposal that Russia is reviewing. So, what are the chances of this situation being defused? Well, in this edition of the debate, we'll discuss all the major developments and ask our guests whether it is Russia that has the upper hand or the EU, whose leaders not only decided to join U.S. sanctions against Russia, suspending visa and economic talks while threatening targeted sanctions, as well as a broad range of economic measures, but also announced to sign an association accord with Ukraine before early elections at the end of May.
Tensions are intensifying in the Ukraine. The Autonomous Republic of Crimea is going ahead with plans to become an independent from central government and join the Russian Federation. Crimean lawmakers have voted in favor of moving eastwards and holding a referendum to join Russia.
We decided to set a referendum for the whole of Crimea, including Sevastopol, for the 16th of March 2014. The following alternative questions will be put on the referendum. First, do you vote for the reunion of Crimea with the Russian Federation as a subject of the Russian Federation? Second, do you vote for the restoration of the 1992 Constitution and for Crimea to be part of Ukraine?
In Kiev, however, the newly formed government is outraged at Crimea. The interim prime minister, Arseniy Yatsenyuk, insists that the region remain part of the Ukraine.
This is an illegitimate decision. And this so-called referendum has no legal grounds at all. That's the reason why we urge Russian government not to support those who claim separatism in Ukraine. Crimea was, is, and will be an integral part of Ukraine.
Yatsenyuk was speaking after meeting with EU leaders in Brussels, where the European Union threatens sanctions on Russia for what it calls military intervention in Crimea. The Kiev government and its Western allies accuse Moscow of invading Ukraine by deploying troops in the Crimea. Russia denies this, with President Vladimir Putin saying that these troops are local self-defense forces. He also said anything Moscow does in Crimea is to protect ethnic Russians there. Crimea started action to join Russia days after the new government was formed in Kiev. With its authorities directly backed by the US and other Western states, pro-Russian rallies have been held on various occasions there. Supporters say their demand to be part of Russia is in response to the disorder and what they call fascism in Kiev. Things have even got worse for the new government, with pro-Russian demonstrators taking to the streets of Donetsk and Kharkiv, the two largest cities in the eastern Ukraine. In response to Kiev's demand for help against Russia, Washington has ordered visa restrictions on Russian and Crimean officials, whom it accuses of threatening the East European country's sovereignty and integrity. Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, says his American counterpart, John Kerry, told him that the list does not include Russian officials. Lavrov, however, added that such steps are still a threat, which only aggravate the situation.
So many developments coming out of Ukraine. Let's see if we can get an analysis of that from our guests. From the Executive Intelligence Review, Jeffrey Steinberg joins us from Washington. We also have independent scholar Peter Sinnott, who joins us from New York. Gentlemen, welcome. Jeffrey Steinberg, there seems to be some challenges in definition when it comes to Ukraine, in particular Crimea, of what's legal and what's not. Why don't you review, if you can, Jeffrey Steinberg, the situation there, because as of now, we're looking at 10 days from now that this referendum is going to take place. Of course, you have the interim government there saying that this is illegal. And of course, you have Crimea along with Russia saying that, well, Crimea wants to join the Russian Federation.
Well, I think you have to go back one step and raise the question of whether or not the current government in Kiev is in fact legal. If you go back to the last week of February, when you had three European Union foreign ministers go to Kiev and joined by an emissary from Russia as well, an agreement was reached to basically establish an interim government with President Yanukovych still in and with a number of issues to be handled through diplomatic means. And then you had violent protesters in the Maidan, including people who are associated with some organizations that can be fairly called neo-Nazi, who used force, including activating sniper attacks against both police and other demonstrators, to basically affect a change in government through military force in violation of the very agreement that Yanukovych, the three opposition party heads, and the European foreign ministers had all signed. So if you don't look at those events first, it's really not fair to evaluate the events in Crimea as if they were the starting point of the crisis in Ukraine. Remember, again, this all began when protests were activated against Yanukovych, when he refused back in November to sign the European Union Eastern Alliance Partnership Agreement, which was, quite frankly, a bad deal from the standpoint of Ukrainian sovereign interests, including severe economic problems that would have been precipitated had they gone along and signed that. So this is not a simple legal black and white issue, and you can't selectively pick something that's occurred well into the process and suddenly declare that that's illegal when the whole character of the current Kiev government violates international law because a legitimately elected, undisputed legitimately elected government was overthrown by violence. So unless there's a willingness to step back and look at the whole picture, I see this going in a very dangerous direction, possibly even leading to a war confrontation between NATO and Russia, which would be horrific.
Well, that's something perhaps you should be telling these EU leaders. But before we get to some of the stances that they have taken after their emergency meeting that they had there in Brussels, Peter Sinnott, again, I'm looking for definitions here. The autonomy of Crimea, is it illegal or not? Because under the Constitution, it is deemed illegal, but Russia says that this new interim government is illegal. It is called the new interim government to move an unconstitutional, the move towards getting leadership there and power grab or an unconstitutional coup is what it has called it. And then meantime, the definition as described by the interim leadership that this move that Crimea is making is illegal. So who's in the right, legally speaking?
Well, the Ukraine is in the right if you consider that Russia was promoting the full integrity of the Ukraine's borders about a week ago. It's only when Yanukovych was clearly ousted from power by a popular revolution. We keep in mind that his parliament, which was heavily his party, gave up on him. And many of them themselves voted for him to leave, not to be recognized as the leader of the country. So if you want to stress the aspects of the parliament and of this treaty, also Yanukovych then rejected the treaty not long after he signed it. So there's been a lot of political movement. And the Crimea, of course, had been a place where Crimeans lived. We should keep that in mind. And it was called an autonomous unit under Stalin until he decided to remove all the Crimean people, which he did in 1944, and sent them into exile, mainly in Uzbekistan. It's only after the end of the Soviet Union that they could return, and they 15,000 or so have settled there. So the idea of the Crimeans in all of this has been left out. But it's quite clear the Crimean Turks would favor being with the Ukraine. Now, the idea of a region succeeding, well, if they have basically militarily conquered the Crimea and are treating every legitimate Ukrainian military post or ship as something that needs to be surrendered immediately. So what we're seeing is a military takeover of the Ukraine, which may have some popular support, but which is quite clearly free from open debate about what's going on. So the Crimea is certainly a crisis point, and it'll be very interesting to see if the EU is really willing to say to Russia that this is a completely illegal act, and whether they will actually do real sanctions. The problem is for the EU is that they've become so enamored of Russian money, of Russian oligarchs' money and investments, and this has become part of their stock exchanges, and it's also become a dependency on gas to a degree.
Well, first of all, when you talk about the fact that Russia has militarily overtaken Crimea, Peter Sinica, that's also up for debate. We can talk about that. But I'm gathering a hint there that perhaps, and correct me if I'm wrong, and this question goes to you, Jeffrey Steinberg, perhaps you're not also aware, as I think I gather from Peter Sinica, that the EU has come out and they have announced what they have called these sanctions. This is pretty much a three-tier sanction, as they called it. They're going to target Russian officials, visa bans. They've joined the United States on that. This was a result of the meeting that took place in Brussels. It also has threatened, and I underlined the word threatened, about